Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
No brakes.
No brakes.
No fear.
No fear.
The official British Speedway podcast.
Welcome along to another episode of No Breaks, No Fear. And in this week's episode, reaction to some of those meetings taking place on Bank Holiday Monday as the Oxford Spires continue their 100% record.
We're just going to keep doing what we're doing. We're not taking it for granted, far from it, you know, but while things are going well, your models will take a bit of credit and just go along with it.
We'll hear more from Peter Schrock and also Rowan Tungate of the Oxford Spires as well in our Bank Holiday Monday review. We'll also hear from Emil Saifutinov, who had a bit of a dodgy start to the meeting, ended up with 11, and says he's still learning.
Yeah, so I'm learning a little bit more today. So, yeah, I'm really happy. You know, it's, we got good points, you know, and looking forward for first day. You know.
Our main guest this week is Dan Thompson, who himself had an impressive performance for Ipswich, banging away the points at his old stomping ground.
It is always nice to go back and race there, but obviously I'm for a different club now, so I have to do a job regardless.
The season at championship level now underway as well. We'll hear from Zach Cook of the Poole Pirates.
A lot of things are going to change during the season, but yeah, it's definitely a good start for us.
And from Louis Kerr at the Berwick Bandits, who've won their first bit of silverware this season.
Yeah, it was good to get the Borders Trophy. Bit of silverware to start the season, so that was nice.
A more exclusive insight into the showbiz lives of British Speedway's top stars. Mike Boswell this week meets Ben Basso.
Last film you watched?
Dumb and Dumber.
All this and much more to come in this week's episode of British Speedway's official podcast.
No breaks, no fear. The official British Speedway podcast.
So we'll start off by looking back at a busy programme on Easter Bank Holiday Monday, and Oxford's dream start to life in the Roe Motor Oil Premiership continued with a 48-42 win at the Birmingham Brummies. The Spires secured the match and the aggregate points as well, and they sit on top of the early table with a 100% record from their opening three fixtures. They overcame the absence of number one as well, Matt Sejanowski, who was riding in the Polish Golden Helmet and produced a strong all-round showing at Perry Bar. Australian champion Rowan Tungate enjoying his best display so far with 14 plus 1 from 6 rides. Charles Wright bagged 11 plus 2 and Chris Harris 10 plus 1. All of those then in double figures. The Brummies scoring was dominated once again by Scott Nicholls in his final appearance of his short-term stint. He racked up 15 plus 1 at reserve. Tom Brennan totaled 13 plus 1, including wins in the last two races. We'll hear from top scorer for the Spires, Rowan Tungate, in a moment. First of all, a very happy Peter Schrock.
Well, Peter, even more so with the fact you were without your number one in Matt Sejanowski tonight. Just how pleased are you with that result here at Birmingham?
Very pleased, you know, because obviously, you know, we have been questioned not bringing another rider, but I've mentioned to you before that I was quite happy going with RR and, you know, worked it out at home, you know, in my head, how I do things and one thing and another, and the RR worked out exactly the way I wanted it to work out. We scored 8-8, whatever it was, which that's what we sort of expect of somebody like Magic this time of the year to get going. So, you know, all the boys really got stuck in and, you know, and yeah, so really, really chuffed.
Yeah, like Rowan Tungate said in another interview as well, it was a full team effort, and when you are a man down, it requires everyone to play their part.
Yeah, you know, even in one of the reserve races, you know, Ashton and Leon, you know, they were at it, and Ashton, you know, when you think how long he's been riding, and he didn't give up and he kept going and picked up a point, you know, that to me, that's as much as Rowan scoring 15, you know. It's great effort. You know, the boys are real gelled together. You know, they believe in what we're doing in Oxford, which is always important, you know, and we're just going to keep doing what we're doing. We're not taking it for granted, far from it, you know, but while things are going well, you might as well take a bit of credit and just go along with it.
You've mentioned Rowan there as well, obviously 14 paid 15 here tonight. When you have been away from British Speedway or away from any league, it can take you a bit of time to settle in, but that's certainly an encouraging sign.
Yeah, I mean, last time Rowan was here in 2013 when Poole won the league. So, you know, but he's a quality rider. That's why he's one of the top riders in the Polish league, you know. So with riders like that, my experience is it's making them believe in themselves and build a happy environment around them, and you get the best out of them. And that's what Rowan, you know, he really enjoys what we're doing. So, you know, and hopefully, you know, it's going to be on a long-term basis that he's going to be with Oxford.
It might only be a start as well, but this has been quite some start to life in the top league for Oxford.
Oh, yeah, 100%. You know, it's a tough league, you know, sort of thing. I mean, you had some great races here over the last couple of meetings with Sheffield coming here, and, you know, so for us to win tonight was an important win. You know, it puts us on the map, and it makes people sort of, you know, sort of maybe respect us a little bit, sort of thing. So we're just going to carry on, enjoy the moment, but not taking it for granted at the same time.
Peter Schrock with Ryan Guest. Well, Ryan also spoke to top scorer and a man having his best night so far in Oxford colours, Rowan Tungate, the current Australian champion, speaking after that victory over the Birmingham Brummies.
Well, Rowan Tungate, it's been another glorious night for the Oxford Spires. Just how proud are you at the team after that one?
Yeah, it was a good win for us, and we've had two wins so far, so we took it, tried to take advantage of it, and all the boys put in a good effort and done what they had to do. So it's another good team effort, and we can be proud of ourselves.
It needed that team effort as well, because obviously running rider replacement for Masha Janowski at number one as well. A lot of people were expecting Oxford to maybe have a difficult night, but everyone really pulled together, didn't they?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's early days, and we could have done with Magic. He was in Poland doing his duties, but yeah, we got by and picked up the win again. So massive team effort, and everyone can be proud of themselves.
Like you say, it's early days, but for a club to come into the top flight of British Speedway and do what the Spires have done in those opening three meetings, it can't be knocked, can it?
Yeah, exactly. We just got to take race by race and not to get too far ahead of ourselves, and just take one meeting at a time, and at the end of the day, it's the playoffs that are most important. So a few of us have got to find our feet, especially me and Magic, and mainly me and Magic. We haven't raced in England for 4 years, so with engines and stuff, we need to find a bit more of a setup. But once we get that sorted out, we should be a pretty dangerous team.
I was going to ask you about yourself as well. Like you say, back in British Speedway, 14 plus one here at Birmingham. How would you assess it overall, and how are you finding it being back?
I feel good today. I made some good starts, and there's still some things I need to improve on. And one thing is starts. I don't think I'm consistent enough from the starts, and I need to find another engine for different tracks that are more slick, and I'm just, like I said, finding my feet and trying to get a better setup every time.
Well, Rowan, it's good to see you back. Well done to you and the Spires.
Thank you.
Rowan Tungate talking to Ryan Guest there, and the Oxford Spires continuing their perfect start to life in the Row Motor Oil Premiership. What about the Birmingham Brummies, though? They're still searching for their first win of the season. Let's get the reaction of Sam Ermolenko, the team manager, with Ryan Guest.
Well, Sam Ermolenko, it's another defeat. Just how disappointed are you after that one tonight?
I'm disappointed, but I think my seven riders are equally as disappointed, you know. And there's, it got away from us. It's easy to look back right now and see how it did, but I try to explain it to the guys, keep your heads up, think about it and see what we can do next.
Yeah, like you say, you had to juggle the riding order a bit to facilitate Scotty down at reserve tonight as well. Certain things work. For example, Tom Brennan had a brilliant night. For one or two of the other boys, they struggled, had a tough night at the office.
Yeah, you know, when you got when you rely on a team to come together on a night, when they're relying on their team, mechanically wise, to do their jobs, some things kind of get overlooked a little bit. And I think, you know, we can say that one of our foreign riders, I don't want to mention any names, had some difficulties getting his bike working for himself. And we found it eventually what the problem was. So, you know, when your guys are losing big points at the beginning, you know, what's different from last week? You know, we're making starts. This week we weren't, they were. Oxford's, I think I kind of understand, you know, the size of the tracks that we got, very similar, and Oxford probably had a little bit closer setups than the likes of like Sheffield.
Yeah, got to look forward. There's a chance to put things right on Thursday night at King's Lynn. A massive boost for the Brummies as well with the news that Piotr Pavlic is coming into the side.
Yeah, we want to give our big thanks to Scotty Nichols for helping us out. And now that we got Pietro on the team, you know, I'm really looking forward to working with him. And I'm sure that, you know, he might be the ingredients of with his fellow Polishman of Victor, hopefully spicing things up a little bit. And the way it's worked out, we got him in riding together in the first race.
Yeah, and King's Lynn on Thursday, how would you assess that? Because obviously they haven't had a home meeting yet.
Well, what I assess is that, you know, we don't go there anticipate that we're going to take the points away from them. We're just going to go there and do our job and see how it works.
It will be interesting to see how Piotr Pawlicki goes. He's had a couple of strong performances in his first two fixtures in Poland. And he'll be hoping, well, certainly Samo Malenko will be hoping he's bringing that form with him to the UK starting on Thursday. Let's hear from one of the top scorers for the Brummies on the night then. The top scorer was Scott Nichols, 15 plus one for him, riding at reserve. Tom Brennan totaled 13 plus one and finished off with back-to-back wins in his final two races.
Well, Tom, after some encouraging signs against the likes of the reigning champion Sheffield and last year's grand finalist Ipswich, just how disappointed are the team after that one?
Yeah, very much. Unfortunately, you know, we couldn't come up with it today. We sort of held in there very, very strongly, I kind of thought, at the start of the meeting. Unfortunately, that's obviously where Spurs goes, unfortunately, Oxford was a better team tonight.
Obviously, you've been in and around British Speedway and the Premiership for a long time, but with the likes of Vaclav, who's been away for a while, it's obviously Victor's first year, you can see where they're perhaps finding it tough early doors.
Yeah, it's tough, you know. Milik has been out of British League for quite a long time, and obviously Lampard is absolutely brand new to this league. Trust me, those guys will become very good. They are world-class riders, so they know what they're doing. We just need to get going, you know. We're kind of fortunate that we've had all these meetings in quite a short amount of time, because this will progress us more. And obviously Scott, I mean, now knowing how public he backed that, that also shakes up the team too. So, you know, Scott has done an absolutely fantastic job, and you know, I think we've all learned a lot from him.
You mentioned that quick run of fixtures that are coming as well to kind of blow away these cobwebs and anything else, and it is a quick return to King's Lynn on Thursday as well. How important is it to maintain that belief?
Yeah, we really need to maintain that belief. You know, we've come so close every single time, and obviously tonight was a little bit of a disappointment, because we've been working very well as a team, and everybody in the pits are working very good. We just need that extra little set, and we're about 70% there right now, so as soon as we can all fire on all cylinders, we'll be a very much different Birmingham, that's for sure.
For yourself individually, 13 paid 14 tonight, but plenty of race wins amongst that, as you would suggest. How do you assess life that started with Birmingham?
Yeah, well, I finally come good in the end, which is obviously important. My teammates have been fantastic to me. My mechanic Kyle and Craig worked very hard in the pits. We actually had a few kind of bike changes there, and I have a complete trust in them. So very, very thankful to the team I have around me. And Birmingham has been a fantastic team to ride for. I'm absolutely loving every minute I'm here. I just hope we can get some wins under our belt soon, because of this team, this management deserves a hell of a lot more.
Well, there were a couple of other fixtures on Easter Monday, and they were in the Premiership Knockout Cup, and the holders Ipswich remain in a strong position to progress to the semi-finals after winning 48-42 at Leicester on Easter Monday. The Witches recovered from conceding a 5-1 in the first race and hit back immediately, rising star Dan Thompson instrumental on his old home track. He was unbeaten in his first three rides in what was a tight contest for most of the evening. Emil Saifudinov and Jason Doyle extending the first leg advantage, getting it together and winning big in Heat 15 with a 5-1. Doyle got 11 plus 1, Emil got 11, and they led the scoring along with Dan Thompson adding a vital 9 plus 1. Sam Masters and Richard Lawson were the best for the Lions with 10 plus 1 and 9 plus 2 respectively. We'll hear from Sam Masters in a moment. First of all though, let's hear the thoughts of Emil Saifudinov, who ended with 11, which is pretty impressive when you consider he finished third in his first two rides and then really found some form. He's been chatting to Alex Raby.
Emil Saifudinov, very tough start to the meeting for you, but you came alive at the end and really brought it home for Ipswich with a 6-point victory and a fine finish in the last heat decider as well.
You know, it's like important, like how we end the meeting. So it's, I'm really happy now. It's about the last three hits. We changed the bike and it's working much better. And I can plank, you know, with bike. So first few hits, you know, it has some problems. Which one, you know, it's still, you know, it's testing some stuff, you know, from beginning season, you know. And yeah, so I'm learning a little bit more today. So yeah, I'm really happy, you know, it's we got good points, you know, looking forward for Thursday, you know.
Talking about strong riders, as we've said, last heat decider, when it comes down to a big race like that one, yourself and Jason, that's the ideal combination. I think you enjoyed yourselves out there in that Heat 15 to bring home the 6-point win.
Yeah, for sure, you know, it's just Heat 15, it was like more enjoying because we can go like with the pairs and I can see, you know, how Jason going, and then I can wait, and because I have good opportunity because my bike is pulling so good, and so that like I said, you know, it's when his bike is going, I can play with the bike, you know, it's good heat, so it's, yeah, so we hope, you know, I can keep that, you know, it's all the time, and however, score more points.
Thank you and congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, certainly got going in the end. Back-to-back wins in his final three rides for Emil Saifudinov and helping see Ipswich build a little bit of a lead into the second leg of the clash between Ipswich and Leicester in the Knockout Cup. Let's hear from top scorer for the Leicester Lions then. Sam Masters got 10 plus 1, also talking to Alex Raby.
Sam Masters, top performer tonight for the Leicester Lions, but unfortunately for the home side, a 6-point defeat, and I'm sure there'll be discussions afterwards, but it just didn't go to plan tonight, did it?
You know, we versed a really tough team, and disappointing that we lost by 6, but you know, when Emil and Doyle are on it like that, they're hard to beat, and especially going into like heats 13 and 15, they're always going to be strong, so you kind of need to get a lead on them early, I think, and we didn't have that tonight, unfortunately, but we're battling away. We've still got a couple of little issues with riders' bikes and stuff in our team. Hopefully I've sorted mine. Yeah, I finished with a duck tonight, but other than that, I can't complain.
Yeah, much more like it for you, I think, than the Kings Lynn meeting. You were making some nice starts, looked to have some better speed, I would suggest. Maybe your first ride, you were a little bit down on power, but from then on looked really good. Three race victories, and I think you'll be satisfied to a greater extent today, certainly.
Yeah, I had a real rough match, especially at Poole on Friday, and I was thinking, I'm hopefully this ain't me. And then yesterday in Poland, scored pretty good, so I come back and sorted a few things, changed a lot of things on my bike, and seemed to have worked. So we can build on that now, and you know, I've got a couple of race wins under my belt, and I can build on it.
Defeat tonight, but we are only halfway through. There's still more business to be done at Ipswich, and I think the Witches, even their management, a little bit cautious, knowing that there's some riders who go well around Foxhall Heath within this Leicester side.
Yeah, that's it. It's not over for sure, and you know, I've seen weirder things happen in Speedway than winning away, but you know, they've done it to us here tonight, no reason why we can't do it to them. And like you said, we've got some guys that don't mind going around Ipswich, and we're going to give it our all.
Well done tonight. Thanks for speaking to us.
Cheers, mate.
Yeah, so it's all back to Foxhall on Thursday for part two of that, with Ipswich starting at an advantage, but you never know in Speedway. We'll find out on Thursday if Ipswich can continue their defence of the Knockout Cup. Well, there was one other fixture in the Premiership Knockout Cup earlier on in the day. It was a lunchtime start at the National Speedway Stadium as Bellevue established an 8-point lead over Sheffield on Easter Monday to leave their Knockout Cup tie finally poised ahead of the second leg at Ollerton Stadium. The Aces won 49-41 on Monday, with their second strings and reserves coming to the fore. Ty Woffenden shone for the Tigers. The former world champion won four races and finished with 13 plus one as his team had to battle to remain in touch, even with the Aces' top two of Brady Kurtz and Dan Bewley not recording their usual high scores. For the Aces, Jamin Lindsay collected 10 points, Norik Bladour 9, winning three races, whilst reserves Connor Mountain and Connor Bailey outscored their counterparts 12-2. Let's hear it from Ty Woffenden now then, speaking to Ryan Guest.
Well, Ty Woffenden, it was a tricky afternoon out there. How did you find conditions?
Yeah, it was good. I made a few good starts and just led them races. And then Heat 13, I made a really bad start from gate 3 after a bit of rain. It was quite wet all the way to the corner. And was behind Jack and BK. They were battling it out, taking up the majority of the track. And I had one crack at it on the last lap, second last corner. Had much more pace than them. They was in the right spots, and I just didn't know anywhere to go. So all in all, it was a good night. But as far as the team's concerned, we've got a bit of work to do. I
was going to say, from the team point of view, it was a better start than in the first two meetings for Sheffield. An 8-point deficit going into Thursday night at Ollerton. How do you assess it?
Obviously we've got an 8-point lead, and we're capable of doing that. So like I said, just going to get a bit more dialed in. And it's only early in the season. This is what, our third home match. Bellevue are strong. There's a lot of strong teams, but I believe over two legs we're the better one. So we'll see how we go on Thursday.
After a postponement last week and obviously Carl's meeting being called off, how much are the boys itching to get back out on home shale?
I guess it doesn't matter if we're at home or away. We just enjoy riding our bikes, right?
And from yourself, obviously starting at a British Speedway season once again, just how impressed and how happy are you with the start you've made?
Yeah, it's going good. I can't complain. To race at Oxford, kind of took me back a few years. The first time I raced there was the last time I raced there was 2007. So it was nice to go back there, see what they've done with the place, and it's got a nice little buzz around it. And then to go to Birmingham after that was cool, good fun, beautiful track, smooth. That's the main thing, everyone wants to ride a nice smooth track that's where we can race really hard and not get into any trouble. So what more can you ask for, really?
So great to have you back, and well done today.
Thank you.
Ty Woffenden enjoying life back in British Speedway, and the Sheffield Tigers continue their clash against Bellevue on Thursday 7:30 at Ollerton Stadium for the second leg of that quarter-final. Ipswich versus Leicester also at the same time. Whoever is victorious from those ties will pick up the action in the Knockout Cup in June, when Leicester or Ipswich will face Birmingham Brummies, and the winner of Sheffield and Bellevue will face the Kings Lynn Stars in the semi-final of the Premiership Knockout Cup, and that's due to take place at the start of June. That brings you up to date with everything that's happened on Bank Holiday Monday. Just looking ahead to the other fixtures in the Roe Motor Oil Premiership. On Thursday, there is just the one fixture in the Premiership itself, and that's Kings Lynn versus Birmingham Brummies And that's Kings Lynn versus Birmingham Brummies, as the Stars look to race their first home fixture of 2024. And then scooting over to the start of next week, Monday, just the one fixture in the Roe Motor Oil Premiership. And it's live on BSN as well. The Bellevue Aces versus the Leicester Lions, 7:30 the start time at the National Speedway Stadium. In the next part of No Breaks, No Fear, we will shine a light on one of the stars of the Ipswich Witches from their performance at Leicester. Dan Thompson put in a huge shift as he helped the Ipswich Witches get that slender lead, albeit, but a lead nonetheless to take into their second leg. And he's had a couple of good performances of late as well. And Dan Thompson, rising star for the Ipswich Witches, speak to us next on No Breaks, No Fear.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
No brakes, no fear. The official British Speedway podcast.
Still to come, we will turn the attention a little bit later on the Cab Direct Championship, which is starting to get underway now. A few fixtures already over the last few days, over the Easter weekend. But really, now we're into April, things are coming thick and fast there. We'll hear from Zach Cook of the Pool Pirates and Louis Kerr in Berwick Bandits colours this year a little later on. But right now, we are talking to someone who's actually involved at championship level, but hasn't ridden there just yet, but has firmly been involved in the action for the Ipswich Witches as their rising star. Dan Thompson has had a good start to the season for the Ipswich Witches. 6+1 against Bellevue, 7+3 against Birmingham, and 9+1 against Leicester, of course, riding on a track that he knows very well, a track he pretty much grew up around. I'm sure we'll hear about that shortly, but he joins us now for a chat about the season so far. And Dan, you have to say, you've got to be pretty happy. So far, so good, and a good score around your old place there at Leicester.
Yeah, no, it's been a great start to the year for myself. Really enjoying my racing and just sort of not putting any pressure on myself, just trying to score every time I go out. And yeah, obviously I'm with Ipswich this year, but I still do enjoy a visit to Leicester. Still know my way around there pretty well. So yeah, it was nice to put in another big shift for Ipswich. And yeah, we've won all our meetings so far, so looking to carry that on.
For people who are not familiar with your story, you and your brother pretty much grew up around Leicester, so perhaps it's no surprise you went particularly well around there this time and also last season as well. But just for those who aren't aware of the backstory, just to explain why Leicester is such a favourite of yours.
Yeah, obviously I've just been riding it since such a young age. Just started Mascot in there when I was about 8, and then National League at 15 and Championship at 16, 17. Obviously, I did a short stint with them in the Premiership before that came to an end, but I still enjoy the track there. I still love all the people there. It's it is always nice to go back and race there, but obviously I'm for a different club now, so I have to do a job regardless. But no, it's nice to have an away track now that I know I can go and score well at, and I've sort of made Ipswich a bit better for myself as well now. So, yeah, the Premiership tracks are becoming better for myself.
They say about beating your opposite number in Speedway, but your opposite number in this particular fixture between Ipswich and Leicester is your brother, of course, Joe Thompson, who is the rising star at Leicester, and must be ever so slightly bizarre being at Leicester and being in opposing pits.
Yeah, it obviously is strange to race each other, but I'm sure it's the same for like the Worrells and the Cook brothers. But we're racing for our clubs. We've got a job to do. So we have to race like we're any other rider. You can't really help each other during the meet and just go out and do our thing and then talk about it on the way home. Yeah, I think it was 3-0 to me yesterday, so I'm sure you'll want to get one back on me on Thursday.
Yeah, well, this is it. You rematch again very soon indeed. And there is this connection between yourselves and Leicester. Of course, Joe started with Ipswich last season. You were at Leicester. The two of you have now sort of swapped over in 2024, as fate would have it. But your biggest scores in the Premiership have come recently riding with Ipswich rather than when you were riding for Leicester. So do you think that the time you spent with Ipswich then and the way that fate worked out has made you a more rounded rider? You've picked stuff up riding with the likes of Doyle and Saifutinov and so on?
Yeah, definitely. Can't hide from the fact the me being dropped from Leicester was probably a good thing for myself. Probably at the time I didn't realise it. I was a bit angry at the decision and stuff. But since joining Ipswich, it's a really difficult track if you don't have any experience there. So me learning that week in, week out has sort of given me different knowledge and experience to take to other places that I perhaps didn't have before. So yeah, definitely. I think the move to Ipswich has improved me as a rider, and usually I start pretty slow in the season. It takes a while to get going, but this year I'm on some new equipment and it seems to be really working for me. So putting some big scores and just looking to maintain that and just be consistent.
We talked about your time at Leicester previously, but you mentioned there about actually maybe it turned into be a good thing. You know, that getting dropped is taking you on now as a rider, with your experiences that you've had since. Was there a choice to make as to where to ride in 2024? And the reason I ask is obviously one or two Leicester fans are looking now and seeing how you're riding and thinking maybe they should have given you a bit more of a chance. You should have had a bit longer and perhaps they were a bit hasty. And what your thoughts really on that?
Yeah, you know, Drew came in last year for them and he did a better job than I was doing at the time. So the change worked for Leicester and the change also worked for myself moving to Ipswich. Coming towards the end of the season, Richie rang me and said, am I interested in coming back if they're keeping the Rising Star position in the teams? And I said, yeah, 100%. It was a club I definitely wanted to be at this year and sort of continue my progression with them. I was happy with how last year went, the second half of it, and I couldn't be happier with the way that things are going there at the start of this year.
And what are your personal aims this year? Because obviously having a good season with Ipswich goes without saying, everybody wants that, and you know, you're keeping the pressure on Leicester here because you're the reigning champions of the Knockout Cup. You want to retain this title and you've made a good bit of headway in that. But for you personally, you've dropped out of the, you know, you're the under-19 champion, but you can't defend that because you've progressed out of those ranks now. So what is it, the under-21s? Is that something you're aiming at?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, I missed out on the under-21s by a lap last year. I was leading it for 3 laps and just didn't quite have the legs to bring it home. But still got 2 more chances at that one. So I definitely want to try and get that title under my belt this year. And there's some other under-21 events abroad that I'm looking at, aiming for those. So, yeah, see how it goes. And if I continue this form, then hopefully I'll be recognised for it.
Looking at Ipswich overall, maybe uncharacteristically, for the first time we've seen Emil having to dig deep into his toolbox, really. He had a couple of spills, which is uncharacteristic for him at Foxhall last week, so much so his race suit has had to go off to get fixed because he burnt some holes in it when he burnt, I think it was the exhaust, wasn't it, that burnt through. And even at Leicester, he smashed the track record, I think, the last time he rode there in his very, very first heat. But this time, you know, he's said himself, he's learnt a lot from that meeting. So, you know, when riders like that are still figuring stuff out, that must show to you as well that it's all right to, you know, work things out as a meeting goes on and use it as a learning experience as well if it doesn't go well.
Yeah, you know, obviously we're all human. We're all allowed a slow start to meetings. It's just how you bounce back from them. Obviously, Emil figured it out pretty quickly last night after his first two, going unbeaten for the rest of it. But you know the capabilities of him. He's not going to have a bad night all night. But for me, sort of my aim this year is to just try and score at least a point every time I go out and ride. So as a rising star, obviously, sort of, we don't have an average. Our job's to just pick up points here and there. So if you pick up a point every ride, that's more than job done. So, but the learning side of it this year already has been amazing. So I can come in and bounce off the other riders about ideas, what to do with bike setups and that, and they're all there for me. And it's a really positive start.
And you were the third top scorer at Leicester there, behind Emil and Jason. And we said Emil had a slow start, but he still finished with 11 points, as you said. Jason Doyle also 11 plus 1. You got 9 plus 1. So a solid showing there. Jordan Jenkins is another new signing. Of course, he was with Peterborough. Obviously, they're not here now, so he had to find somewhere new. But another rider who came into the ranks at Ipswich through the course of last season to fill some gaps that they had here and there. And Again, I think you've said in the Speedway Star that you feel that once Jordan gets going and maybe he's sort of finding his way around things a little bit early doors, that when you really start to click, you're going to have a formidable reserve partnership.
Yeah, I obviously get on really well with Jordan. He's a quality rider. He's just, obviously, he's been dealt a tough card because he's gone straight into the main body of the team. Obviously, that's hard on any young rider. I do believe there should be some kind of ruling that you should be allowed, whether it's two or three seasons as a rising star, regardless of your average, something like that. Because I believe he only did like 1 year and now he's out. But yeah, it's a lot harder for him being in the main body of the team. But speaking to him at Leicester last night, he was happy with how things went and feels like he's turned the corner. So once we're all firing, I mean, we're already putting the results on the board, so it's only going to get better.
Yeah, and it's a good point you make. Keenan Roo you've been riding with so far, but really you'd expect once the averages even out for Keenan to make his way back into the main body of the team and Jordan to come down into the reserve berths at number six.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Keenan's had a lot of time in the main body of the team last year and started this year. He's more than capable of holding his own in the main body. So is Jordan, but he's obviously... time at reserve is a lot more helpful for a young rider. My race is considerably easier than his, even when he was at number six. So, points are hard to come by because every time you're out, you're against well-established riders. So, even the way we're lining up now, we're strong. So it's just going to get better.
Ipswich, the defending champions in the Knockout Cup, of course, and obviously looking to retain that. And you start off at an advantage. You've got a 6-point lead over Leicester for the second leg on Thursday. So that takes a little bit of the pressure off, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's sort of what we were aiming for, to get sort of any lead going into our home leg, because we know what we can do at home. But yeah, it does take a bit of pressure off, but we can't be complacent and sort of think we've already got through. We've still got to do the job on Thursday, and hopefully then we can progress through and try and retain the Knockout Cup trophy.
Just to talk about the championship for a little bit, you're lining up with the Plymouth Gladiators there, and so far you're yet to ride a meeting for them because the first couple of home fixtures have been called off because of wet weather, and it has been extremely wet in Devon. I think you can look it up online. It's been the wettest February and March, I think, that pretty much has ever been. And that's obviously not good when you're trying to renovate the track as well, because they're making some track changes there to try and make it a little bit, maybe a bit quicker, I think, and a bit more space on that third and fourth bend.
Yeah, obviously the track changes they've tried to make would be impossible with the weather they've had. We had a press day there the other week, and you can just see how the water's made the surface so sort of spongy. But no, they've worked really hard over the winter, and it's great that the club's got ambitions to make things better. The racing's obviously really tight there, so hopefully it should just allow a bit better passing. Hopefully we get going in the next few weeks.
Well, you hopefully should be in business sooner rather than later. The 13th is set for the first home fixture as it stands versus Scunthorpe, the second leg of the first round of the Knockout Cup, the night after racing Scunthorpe at the Eddie Wright Raceway. But prior to that, we will see Plymouth in action in the BSN series as you head to the reigning champions, the Poole Pirates, which is going to be next Wednesday, the 10th of April. Always a tricky place to go and quite a baptism of fire for your new side.
Yeah, no, there's probably not a tougher place you can go for the opening fixture. Obviously, they did a really good job on Oxford the other night. We'll all have to be on our A game going there. We'll all be giving it our all. We're sort of a levelled out team across the board. We don't really have any big heat leaders as such, but we're all capable throughout. So hopefully we can keep things close so we can... try and get the return leg at Plymouth.
I guess you have some pool experience in Carl Newman as well, so perhaps that will help out on the trip to Wimborne Road. As far as Nico Cavati is concerned, have you heard any further updates on how he's doing? And of course, you have now got this facility to be able to replace him at number one, because the search for a replacement has obviously been very tricky at this stage of the season to find someone who is available, especially racing on weekends and so on as well. So there is that, but just wondered, is there any update on Nico's situation?
Not really. We haven't really heard too much about Nico. Obviously, we all wish him well, though, for his recovery, and hopefully he can join us at some point. I know they were looking at other options because we weren't originally granted a facility. So, yeah, just lucky we've got that facility whilst we figure out how long Nico's going to be away from the team. So, yeah, just hopefully we can get a good guest in for the first one and try and put a good result on.
And is there any word on being able to get on the track at Plymouth to have a practice? Because you want to get some laps under your belt, I imagine, before you do line up against Scunthorpe there. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks, you'll hopefully be able to get on there and learn the new circuit.
No, I'm not sure. None of us have ridden Plymouth yet. I know we're trying to organise a practice day whenever it's ready, but they keep getting dealt the bad weather. So until that stops, I'm not sure what meetings will go on. Yeah, hopefully the weather sorts itself out and we can get down to Plymouth and get the first meeting and yeah, just looking to win that one.
It's a good job you like driving on the M5, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot of driving. Probably signed for two of the furthest clubs this year that I could have signed for, but if a club treats you right and everything's right there, you like everything there, you'll travel as far as it takes, I suppose.
Yeah, that's it. And through the course of the winter, you mentioned you've got some, you know, different equipment. And so what's that? Is that upgraded engines? Or what sort of changes have you been making in the background that you think is going to take you up a notch this year?
Yeah, I've had a new engine and changed a few minor things on the bike, such as clutches and stuff. Just little things to try and help myself. It's for you, you've got to sort of find what works for you. It's not as easy as having like a book that tells you how to do everything. It's very much personal. You've got to figure things out for yourself. Obviously, you take advice from other riders, but some stuff works for them that won't work for you. So, yeah, just little tweaks that I think will help me, and so far they have done.
And now you're getting, you know, spend time with the likes of Saifutinov and Doyle, you know, two riders that have been, you know, right on the top table of World Speedway. Are you a bit of a Speedway anorak and you're looking at what they've got on their machines and seeing what you can employ into your own gear as well now?
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, whenever you offer a pits, I think most riders will look at each other's bikes, see what's different to yours, what's potentially better, or how something's different. Just obviously, yeah, every rider's always looking to better themselves. I know even Emil's made a few changes this year, although last year he was almost flawless. So even he's one of the best riders in the world and still looking for better. So, yeah, there's always things you can do to better yourself, and the bikes is a big part of it. So looking at other people's machinery can give you a few ideas.
Are you sticking with the chains? Because I noticed that Jason Doyle's gone on to belt drives, hasn't he now? Which has been the big sort of talking point.
Yeah, belt drives have sort of been around a few years now, I think. There's chains is still the more way more popular option at the minute. I've heard of a few problems with the belt drive, so I just stick with the chain at the minute.
Okay, well, we'll look forward to seeing in action very soon, Dan, and certainly people who are subscribers to BSN don't have to wait very long, because they will see you riding for the Plymouth Gladiators in Plymouth's first fixture of 2024 away at Poole at Wimborne Road. That's next Wednesday, and then the following week, the Thursday, we'll be with BSN at Ipswich at Foxhall, because it's going to be Ipswich versus Oxford, so that's on BSN as well. So the Dan Thompson fans are getting a double whammy over 8 days.
Yeah, definitely. I do really enjoy the BSN coverage. I know a lot of riders use it as a tool to rewatch their races, see what they can do different. Or a lot of us like watch the meeting that had been there the week before, if it was on BSN or something, to gauge what the gates are doing and sort of how the track's riding. So it does help a lot of riders as well.
we always think of it, you know, broadcasting straight to fans, I suppose, and supporters and what have you. You don't really think that when you're broadcasting it, that riders are going to be looking at this for technical tips. But maybe we should start putting those in there as well. You certainly see riders looking at their phones in the pits every now and again, and as soon as they come back in, and sometimes I know they've got family members at home like screen grabbing it and sending it them, and so they can see their ride back straight away.
Yeah, a lot of times on track walk last year, someone would sort of have a meeting up on their phone on BSN, showing us like sort of the lines and what other people were doing, how certain riders on their team were riding, where they were riding. So yeah, it is helpful, and obviously it's nice to have your races filmed as well. Obviously, I'm not sure if refs are allowed to use the replays or not yet, but I definitely think they should be, because obviously it's a lot clearer on BSN sometimes than it is from the box.
Yeah, they can now use it. Certainly BSN and Eurosport coverage, the referees are allowed to do it. And sometimes referees have got out of the box and walked over to, you know, the BSN van or to the interview point or wherever to have a look at it that way as well. So it has been used definitely in the past.
It does help them to make decisions, I think, and helps them to make the right ones. Obviously, in recent years, we've seen a lot of wrong calls and stuff.
Yeah, indeed. Well, thanks a lot for chatting to us, Dan. Hopefully you're not going to be involved in any dubious calls and stay out of that trouble. But so look forward to seeing you in action again very soon. And your next fixture, of course, will be on Thursday for Ipswich at home at Vauxhall in that second leg of the Knockout Cup tie, as Ipswich look to continue their defence of the Knockout Cup from 2023. Thanks for joining us, Dan Thompson.
Yep, thank you.
Dan Thompson. Now, one of the sides that Dan is going to be facing very soon are the Poole Pirates. We will hear from Zach Cook of the Pirates after they opened up their accounts in the BSN series with a walloping of the Oxford Cheetahs. So we'll talk to Zach about that. We'll also hear from Louis Kerr of the Berwick Bandits and another episode of Mike Meets. Mike Boswell has been chatting to some of the stars of Speedway, and as Kings Lynn are in action very soon and looking to get their first home meeting out of the way on Thursday, we'll hear from Benjamin Basso and see how he handles Mike's probing questions. And that'll be on the way in the next part of No Breaks, No Fear.
No Breaks, No Fear. The official British Speedway podcast.
So in this part, we'll have a little bit of a look at one or two teams getting underway in the Championship, the Cab Direct Championship and the BSN Series underway, and particularly so as we head through April. And the reigning champions of the BSN Series, the Poole Pirates, started in spectacular fashion at home against the Oxford Cheetahs at Wimborne Road on Good Friday. The Dorset side roared to a 61-29 win in the BSN Series to set down a marker for the campaign. Even Neil Middleditch says even he was shocked by the impressive start for the Pirates in this new season. Well, let's hear from one of those Poole Pirates. There's two Cooks in the team. Ben Cook, of course, is the captain. His brother Zach Cook, also firmly involved, and he's been speaking to Ryan Guest.
Well, Zach, obviously the start of a new season, no one knows what's going to quite happen. People tipping both Poole and Oxford to be well in the running again. Did you see that result coming on Good Friday?
Nah, definitely not by that much anyway. I think it's probably a mixture of all of our guys having a good night and a few of the Oxford boys not having the best of nights. And, you know, it's early in the seasons and a lot of things are going to change during the season. But it's definitely a good start for us.
Like you say, there's plenty of positives that the Pirates can take away from that one. But at the same time, how important is it that you don't read too much into it and don't get too carried away?
Yeah, definitely. That's what I mean. Nothing's won in the first meeting over the season. But it's a good stepping stone and something to build off. And we know what most of the boys are capable of in our team now. And as I said, there's two of them that have never raced the bull track and only done the practice on it. And they went out and had a good night. So it's definitely something to work on for later in the season.
11 paid 12 for yourself as well. So a really pleasing way to get your season underway down there.
Yeah, exactly. It's always good to start off with a good meeting, and I don't think we haven't got a home meeting for a couple of weeks now, or a week and a bit, so hopefully keep working on that.
Obviously it's well known the championship team building had to change this year. Richard Lawson, kind of the elder statesman of the team, and it's a much younger Pirate side, but one with plenty of potential still.
Yeah, exactly. every team's sort of built different, and yeah, I think we've got a solid team, like 1 through 5, and yeah, Rich, he's sort of leading the way, and yeah, he's a solid number one, and yeah, if we can all sort of do our part and he does his, then yeah, we're in for some good meetings.
And obviously you felt that heartache down there last year, obviously with what happened in the competitions right at the end of the season. So for those of you who are returning to Wimborne Road, how much does that drive you on even further?
Yeah, definitely. I've tasted success there, and then obviously a bit of defeat there last year. And yeah, we worked hard all year last year and sort of just fell apart and when it mattered. And yeah, no, we definitely want to fix that up and hopefully get the win this year. And yeah, I think everyone's feeling the same way.
Zach Cook of the Poole Pirates. Meanwhile, the Berwick Bandits clinched the Border Trophy with a 47-43 win at Workington to go alongside their 22-point first-leg victory. The Bandits were successful in a last-heat decider in what proved to be a far closer contest at Northside, with Comets newcomers Antti Vuolas and Tate Zischke both impressing, Vuolas scoring 11 for the home side, including 3 race wins, but the Bandits' top two of Rory Schleiner got 11+1, and Louis Kerr, also on 11, were both in form. Kerr taking the flag in the decisive Heat 15 on the day. Let's hear from the man himself, Louis Kerr, with Ryan Guest.
Well, Louis, obviously it's been a busy weekend with the Berwick Bandits, and a good start to the campaign as well.
Yeah, it was good to get the Borders Trophy, bit of silverware to start the season, so that was nice. I personally had a good one yesterday, so it feels good going into tonight.
Yeah, and like you say, it was a good one for yourself. I know you were a bit frustrated with the home meeting, but to round off the way you did in the second leg at Workington, that can take you into the rest of the season with them.
Absolutely, mate. Yeah, I just couldn't make starts Saturday night, and we'll try to put that right next week. But yeah, good second leg and full of confidence.
For yourself as well, obviously, it's a new experience up at Shieldfield Park as well, and something that excited you over the winter to be linking up with the Bandits.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, a lot of familiar faces through the Oxford link, and I know a lot of people from my old Newcastle days as well. So it's a nice feel to have starting a new club. So, yeah, I'm enjoying it so far.
And I know Workington have got a fair few newcomers to British Speedway in the team as well, but nevertheless, particularly in that home leg, some encouraging signs from other members of the team as well.
Yeah, massively. You know, the reserves done a fantastic job, so that was nice to see. And I think we've got a real good, exciting team this year. So hopefully we get some more trophies.
Yeah, and people will have made you aware up there as well. Obviously, Berwick have come close a couple of occasions, but it's been a long time since they tasted any real success. Obviously, with the signings they've made, the addition of Stuart Dixon as team manager as well, do you think there's the right blend up there this year to push on for honours?
I do, mate. I'd like to think so. We've had a good start. You know, there's a good feel about the club, and you know, we've got a trophy now and we want more, so it'd be nice.
He's got a taste for success. Louis Kerr of the Berwick Bandits. After they won the Border Trophy, the real business begins for them this weekend when Berwick face Glasgow at 7 o'clock in the BSN Series, that one. And we also had Zach Cook on earlier, didn't we? They're back in that BSN Series action with the return leg of that big walloping of Oxford. Oxford looking to repay the favour. They've got a bit of a tough task. It's 29-61 at half-time. Oxford versus Poole on Wednesday evening, 7:30 at Oxford Stadium. I'll run through all of the fixtures in full before the end of the podcast. So one final thing to bring you, and that is our chat that set tongues wagging last week as Mike Boswell, who's our reporter around the Ipswich parts. He caught up with a number of Speedway's top stars at the British Speedway Premiership Media Day, and he lured them over. I'm not sure how he lured them, but he lured them to his desk and asked them all sorts of questions. Last week, he was chatting gangster rap with Jack Holder. What will happen in this week's episode as Mike meets Benjamin Basso?
Name?
Benjamin Basso.
Occupation?
Speedway.
First time on a Speedway bike?
7 years old.
Where?
In Odense, Denmark.
People who have helped you with your Speedway career so far?
Eric Gunderson, mum and dad. All the mechanics I've had, my family basically, yeah.
Best things about Speedway?
Speed, adrenaline and winning.
And imagine you're going to an interview and they do the classic question of how would others describe you? How would your friends describe you?
They would probably describe me as a funny guy, pretty much never serious, except for when it comes to speedway and business.
Fair enough. Good qualities. Obviously, lots of youth has always come out of Denmark. One to watch for the future that you may be helping or have got some eyes on?
You all know the legend, Brian Anderson. Mm-hmm. His son is racing right now, and as far as I can see, he will make it far in the game.
And you're a man I see sometimes with your iPods stuck in your ears, just chilling out.
Yep.
What's your music taste?
That's a good question, because I basically have none. I like old music, I love hip-hop, rap, whatever it is, as long as it sounds good.
And as a man who could probably get gold status on an airline, middle, aisle or window seat?
Always window, because then you can lean against something when you're sleeping.
And can you sleep?
I can sleep. I've learned it. I remember the first season I had like a really hard time sleeping on planes, mm-hmm. because I never tried it before, but once you get tired enough, you know, eventually you fall asleep.
So when you hang up your leathers and your Speedway career, what do you think your career is going to be post-Speedway? Have you got...
My dream is to look back at a good career. I want to get into the GPs, you know, and most importantly, I want to have like enjoyed myself through the whole journey and met some people, had a good time, basically.
Awesome. Yeah. What an outlook. Last film you watched?
Dumb and Dumber.
Good film. Yep. Very funny film. Last and favourite tracks. This is Speedway tracks, not music tracks.
Exactly. Well, I think I'm in the right place this season, as King's Lynn is actually my favourite track. It was Glasgow in the championship, as I'm not doing anymore, so now it's King's Lynn.
And just one final question. When you finally get home, what do you do to switch off, wind down and relax?
I like to chill with my friends. Not a lot of my friends are actually into Speedway, so it's actually nice to be able to get away and just talk about anything, play some tennis, do whatever. I like to do sports when I'm not busy with Speedway, so a lot of sports, hanging out with the friends.
Awesome. Thanks, yeah. Ben Basso.
No worries. Cheers.
Well, another successful episode of Mike Meets, I'm sure you'll agree, and a little insight there into the world of Benjamin Basso. And Ben Basso will be in action for the King's Lynn Stars in their first home meeting of the season in the Roe Motor Oil Premiership as they clash with the Birmingham Brummies, 7:30 this Thursday. Looking ahead to the rest of the fixtures, well, Wednesday, first of all, BSN Series. It's Oxford versus Poole, and Poole holding quite a big advantage in that one. They're at 61-29 up at half time. Back to Thursday then. It's back to Premiership Knockout Cup quarter final action. Ipswich up against Leicester. They've got a slender lead there of just the 6 points. Sheffield have a bit of distance to make up over Bellevue. It's 49-41 at the halfway point in that one, in Sheffield's first home fixture at Ollerton of 2024. Then on Friday, it's a big day in Scotland. The two big rivals meet in their respective season openers. Edinburgh Monarchs against the Glasgow Tigers in the BSN Series at Armadale, 7:30 start time. The Scunthorpe Scorpions host the Redcar Bears in the northern section of the BSN Series as well. Again, 7:30 the start time. And that fixture will be live on BSN. On Saturday, BSN Series continues at Shieldfield Park as the Berwick Bandits host Glasgow Tigers at 7 p.m. And at Workington, the GT Tyres Arena at Northside, Workington Comets against the Scunthorpe Scorpions, 3 p.m. the start time Saturday afternoon. And again, a fixture you can watch on BSN. Sunday, we've got National League action. The World Speedway Riders Association National Development League, Leicester Lion Cubs up against Edinburgh. And that's at 3 p.m. at Beaumont Park at the Pidcock Motorcycles Arena. Then on Monday, of course, Monday is Premiership Day. Roe Motor Oil Premiership, Bellevue Aces versus the Leicester Lions. 7:30 start time there. Again, that one is live on BSN as well. And then looking ahead to Wednesday next week, another fixtures on BSN. We've got a busy week ahead. A lot of miles to go. Poole Pirates versus Plymouth Gladiators at 7:30. And that's how things look for the next week or so. We'll worry about what happens after that in next week's episode of the podcast. which you're able to get on all podcast apps, good and bad ones, and of course get it on YouTube as well next week. It'll be out probably Wednesday morning, first thing in the early hours is usually how we do it. Make sure you like and subscribe on whatever app you use so you don't miss it. And we'll be back with that next week. In the meantime, enjoy your Speedway, and we'll catch you on next week's episode of No Breaks, No Fear. Take care.
No Breaks, No Fear. The official British Speedway podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.